Meanwhile, global markets didn't start the day so well today, with key Asian markets closing in the red, and China especially, which saw the Shanghai Composite Index jump 5.6% at yesterday's close, ended down 0.6%, with market players now keen to get detail on the so-called substantial progress in trade talks between the US and China. Risk appetite appeared to taper somewhat, although as we speak, global markets are mixed, although none are shooting the lights out. The all-share index bucked a generally weaker trend, however, closing up 0.65% at 56,243 points. The local currency, however, lost some steam against major currencies. It's now trading around 13.87 against the US dollar. Well, to give us some view on the markets, I'm joined on the line by Simon Brown. He's a market analyst and founder of Just One Lap. Thanks very much, Simon, as always, for joining us. So yesterday, there was seemingly a burst of excitement at President Donald Trump's tweet that good progress was being made around talks between the US and China. But I guess markets today have woken up to the realization that the devil will be in the detail.
Evening, exactly. A bit of a hangover this morning, the sense being because it was supposed to come in from the 1st of Jan. It got extended until 1st of March, which, of course, is now Friday. I mean, it's a couple of sleeps away. And it was good news out of President Trump yesterday from his tweets over the weekend saying positive things. But what exactly does this mean? What exactly are the details? Is this going to be concluded by Friday? Unlikely. What will be the extension, the T's and C's on the extension? So a lot of details, but still the sense being is that, you know, we've been concerned now for at least a year, maybe a bit longer, about a full-blown trade war between the U.S. and China. And we've kind of been stepping back from that precipice. And the sense is that the tweet over the weekend really takes a solid step back and says, look, no one benefits from a full-blown trade war. Let's see if we can find something better here. So whilst a complete lack of detail, a continuation of the move in the right direction, in the sense that this is how Trump does his negotiating tactics.
Mm. If I can kind of create an analogy, I think yesterday the market had their full foot in the water, but today they seem to just have their big toe in because, you know, there's that uncertainty. So has today's apparent risk aversion led to a stronger dollar and weaker commodity prices? And why are we seeing currencies like the Rand on the back foot?
You know, we certainly have seen a bit of dollar strength coming through. We've seen some of the commodities under pressure, but I think the market's looking forward to the sort of longer term story, albeit only a big toe in the water. There's still a sense that we're not going into full blown trade war, and that's therefore good for commodities generally. China remains the largest user of the commodities pretty much across the board, except perhaps, you know, sort of your gold and your platinum group metals, but certainly your coppers and tins, iron ore, etc. So there's that sort of positive sentiment, and we've seen it through. We're having one of the best starts to the year that we've seen in since the 60s, depending particularly in the market you're looking at. There certainly is some positive responses coming through, and this kind of gives a bit of a wind in the back to it. So I think the commodity sell-off is probably a bit of profit-taking, but certainly the commodity prices don't look stretched, and the commodity companies are looking very strong. Strong balance sheets, good results coming through. And they don't need, you know, running prices to improve their profit margins. Even just gradual increases are going to work for them.
I suppose one of the reasons we're interested in this guy is, yes, he's South African, but he may well also revolutionize the motor industry. That's Elon Musk. But I see that he's in a bit of hot water with the US stock exchange authorities again. And has this reflected in the Tesla share price?
It has a little bit, but it's problematic. So he got into trouble with them last year, and the one of the agreements, apart from a $20 million fine and agreeing to separate the role of chairman and CEO and put an independent chairman, was that he would not talk about the company on Twitter. He can talk about the Oscars, but not about Tesla. And then he went and did exactly that way. He did. And you can argue, did he misrepresent the numbers? But as soon as we're arguing it, certainly there's a gray area here. And someone just tweeted it a little while ago, and I can't find it to credit them who it was. But they said, you know, the benefit of a board is to you know, protect the CEO, to stop them from doing stupid things, and in Musk's case, to protect him from himself. And it is unfortunately with personality such as we saw it with the previous CEO at Uber, very strong founder personalities, often are absolute geniuses. Musk certainly is, but they're often not very good in the sort of nitty-gritty of, you know, SEC and boards and what to say and what not to say. And he's getting himself and his company into trouble, himself directly, the Tesla indirectly, of course.
So there were a slew of company results out today. Let's take a look at a few interesting ones. Shall we start with ShopRite? Mm-hmm. Their earnings were relatively poor for them, but it seems that they had a number of issues that sort of conspired to affect them during last year. They reported diluted headline earnings per share down 24%. Their trading profit was down 19%. And shareholders are getting a significantly lower dividend than they got the previous year.
Yeah, none of this great. We chatted when they gave us the updated trading update. The first trading update, you know, was a bit vague, and then the second was a bit terrifying, to be honest. Going through the results, about probably half of the stuff there is beyond their control, and that's, you know, hyperinflation in Angola. That is a lack of food inflation, which means your revenue is not rising, but of course your costs are rising. And that we can forgive them for. That will be cyclical. It'll work against them at times and in their favor in times. The other half is their problems, and it's issues such as industrial action, strike action, which I blame at the door of management. It's issues such as their new sort of SAP system, their stock managing system, which wasn't as smoothly rolled out, which meant you went into a ShopRite and there wasn't whatever it is you were looking for. Maybe there were alternatives, maybe at the prices, but you know, one of the key things is you go shopping, you want whatever your favorite brand is of toothpaste, be it whatever. So they've messed up as well. They're certainly talking the talk. My sense is management are strong. We had the chat last month where, you know, is it now without Whitey Person? Is this, you know, have they lost some of the shine? I still think not. I still think there's a strong business here. And when we spoke last time, I was cautious about rushing out to buy. I wanted to see what they call it a trading margin, more colloquially an operating margin. 5.4% last year, came in at 4.4. That's a lot better than I expected. I frankly expected it sub 4%. Competitors such as Pick and Pay are on the low 2%. So as a holder of ShopRite, I'm perfectly comfortable holding it. I thought the results weren't great. I think they can fix what they've broken. But they didn't break, I think, will turn in time and come in their direction.
Right. So as I say, there were a lot of results, and I have no clue what you might have focused on. Anything interesting from your side?
Well, the other one that came out, and I know you're chatting to David in a moment, so I'll touch on it briefly. Wilson Bailey Homes came out at the top end of a terrible update of between 80 and 100% decrease in headline earnings. They're only down 80. What I like about it is management coming out and saying, you know what, we messed up. And we saw that to a degree in the ShopRite results presentations as well. And management are fallible. They will make mistakes. Far too often they try and hide it under the mattress. And I think it's important for their reputation, for the honesty towards shareholders and stakeholders. And Wilson Bailey set, I think, a stunning example of saying, you know, we did a giant project. It was complicated. No excuses. We messed up. And that's what you want to see from the people who ultimately managing our capital as shareholders. I don't hold construction stocks, but I think it was a good lesson from some of the other CEOs who will try and pass the buck to absolutely anybody in town.
Simon, always a pleasure talking to you. That was Simon Brown. He's a market analyst and founder of Just One Lap.